child run past, Spirit?
Yes, everyone is in such a rush these days.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 63rd chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as usual, is TFG1 Mike. Hello, sir.
I'm so tired.
Apparently Mike's tired. But whether you're tired or not, are you ready for more Myths of Etheria, sir?
I'm so tired. I don't even know what the hell is going on. Of course, the people will hear this episode like 6 months after we recorded it. But at this point in my life, I am a super edit monkey. I've been editing so many podcasts.
You had one of those words, right?
Shut up. So many podcasts, so little time. I will never ever do a daily podcast ever again.
I could have told you that. Oy vey. But in this tired episode for Mike of Myths of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 49, For Want of a Horse, episode 50, Just Like Me, and episode 51, My Friend, My Enemy, which I like to use that term to describe you most of the time. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Actually, we're gonna go to Philadelphia first and see Sean as a chick like me.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed. Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megatron and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny Call.
Minions. Mantenna, why didn't you bow when I entered the room?
I forgot!
That is no excuse.
That was a close one.
Oh, Dak, you seem upset.
I've just returned from our secret headquarters where I received an important message from Horde Prime. Horde Prime! Leader of the mighty Horde Empire! Ruler of a thousand worlds! The most feared being in three galaxies!
What did he want?
To remind me that his birthday is coming up and that he expects a present, a good one. The question is, what kind of gift?
I have an idea, Hordak. Be right back.
The end of the world must be upon us. Grizzlor has had an idea. I'll never understand how a brain so small managed to grow so much fur.
So, what are you going to do about Horde Prime?
I don't know. That's why I'm upset. But what do you get for someone who rules our whole galaxy? Someone who has two of everything. Two armies, two space fleets.
Two heads.
I was trying not to think about that.
I've got it. The perfect gift for Horde Prime.
All right, Grizzlor. Go ahead. Thrill me.
A pair of ties. One for each head.
Do you have any idea what Horde Prime would do to me if I sent him a tie?
No. What?
This!
First up today is episode 49 for What of a Horse, air date Wednesday, November 13th, 1985, written by the one and only Bob Forward. It's Horde Prime's birthday, and Hordak has to give him a special gift. He opts for She-Ra Steed. So, we have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Mantenna, Grizzlor, and Horde Prime. We have She-Ra, Bo, and Swiftwind. So, Mr. Mike, what do you think about the whole idea that we're going to have an episode revolving around Horde Prime's birthday?
Well, that's a horse of a different color.
No, Swiftwind's still the same color.
At first I was like, okay, this is fine. It's dealing with Swiftwind. And it's got some really great comedy beats in it with Hordak and Horde Prime and whatever else. What I find odd is, because we never actually really, outside of his giant Dr. Claw metal hand, we never really see Horde Prime in his primeness. We see shadows, we see eyes, we don't ever really see his face. They end up making a joke in the story about, oh, he has two heads and we should get him two ties and two this and two... I'm like, is Horde Prime really too bad?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. The whole idea that we're going to have a episode based around somebody's birthday is weird to begin with, and that it's Horde Prime's birthday is just doubly weird because, come on, there's no evil villains that are going to be celebrating birthdays. So I'm not necessarily on board with the whole idea that we're going to have a plot revolving around a birthday. So unless this episode blew me away, it was not going to be off to a good start today. So let's take a quick break and see if we can find some good things to say about Horde Prime's birthday with our first trip to Whispering Woods.
You almost forgot that part, didn't you?
I was not sure where I was going there.
Some job for a hero like me. Babysitting.
Babysitting? Really, Bo?
Sorry, Swiftwind, I didn't mean it. I just like some action. And it looks like I may get it. That girl needs help. Wait here, Swiftwind.
But, oh, very well.
Help! Help me! Somebody help me!
I'm going to catch you. Am I doing this right?
Quiet, fool. Help! Help! Help me!
Over here, I'll save you. You're safe now. I had this arrow specially made.
All right, beastie. You better come with me. This Rhys-Rhys should take care of you. Now, come along.
All right, our first trip to Whispering Woods to talk about the good things about For Want of a Horse, which I think is just the wrong name for this episode. It should just be Horde Prime's birthday or something. What good things did you see out of this episode that you'd like to highlight?
First of all, if you take the word for out of the title, it basically spells woe or woe. W-O-A-H. Where's Joey Lawrence when we really need him, right? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Hordak's Comedy Hour, starring the incompetence of Mantenna and Grizzlor. She-Ra, during the episode, one of the Horde troopers, or maybe Shadow Weaver, or somebody basically puts a hole in the dam, and She-Ra ends up using a Lincoln log to repair the dam. I swear, as soon as she grabbed that log, that was the first thing I thought of was Lincoln Logs. Shadow Weaver is kicking some ass in her disguise and outside of her disguise as well. She's almost better in that disguise than Evil-Lyn ever was in a little girl disguise.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to bring this up later in the episode, but I got to bring it up here now because Swiftwind, and I know you hate this effect, you always have, you always will, but he executes the single tier very well here, and it's poorly executed later in the podcast that we'll get to that, but I thought that was a interesting little thing for Swifty to do that. So I do feel sorry for Mantana. I'm like, oh, poor Mantana. And then it's like, hey, he gets his comeuppance at the end.
Yeah.
Because Hordak ends up in the drink. What about you? What'd you like about this one?
The end of the world. Grizzlor has an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, echo that. I mean, that's just, that was a good moment that Hordak had when he was reacting to Grizzlor's idea. It was not Mantena's day, though, overall, like you were talking about. Like, it just...
No.
I mean, he got his laugh at the end, but he fell down one too many holes. And Horde Prime can't fly?
At this point, we're not even to season two yet. We're not even done with season one. This is what, episode 49 out of 93 of the whole series. Right. I'm already sick of Horde Prime.
We've only
seen him several times, but it's a useless gimmick. If Hordak is in charge of Etheria, if he's actually taken over the planet, he has the power of, I don't necessarily want to say attorney, but he's basically the overlord of Etheria in most places. And the rebellion is trying, I'm just so sick of, Hordak being the Darth Vader to Horde Prime's
Emperor.
Well,
this episode even made it seem like it wasn't just like that either. It made it seem like he's just one of many captains or commanders out there. So it's like, it's Horde Prime, and then you get this feeling from this episode that there might be like 10 or 12 different, captains or commanders that are under him.
So then basically Hordak is just another stormtrooper.
Well, it's almost like I would equate him to like Grand Moff Tarkin. Like, he's just another general of this group. Like,
I know you said Grand Moff, but I heard Grandma, and I'm like,
Grandma,
wait,
Tarkin, yes, Grandma Tarkin. She was probably had more balls than Grand Moff Tarkin. But yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot to good that I can say about this episode. I mean, getting into some Fright Zone moments, I already talked about Horde Prime's birthday. Please give me a break. But here's the crux, though. Here's the bad part, and I can't believe this came from Bob Forward, because...
I know.
Because here, it's like you didn't even think this out. So it's Horde Prime's birthday. Hordak is searching for the perfect gift. And he's thinking, what do I give the guy that has everything, that rules the universe and the world, etc. He has, it's that whole thing. He has two of everything. So what do you give him? So he comes up with this unique idea that I'm going to give him Swiftwind. You want to give Horde Prime something which you later admit is a gift that you know he is going to hate and never use. Because they specifically talk about the fact that Horde Prime can't fly. He hates anything that can fly. And when he's talking to Swiftwind, he's telling Swiftwind that you are going to rot away in a cavern or a cave or a cell because he's never going to use you. You're never going to be able to fly again, and he's just going to let you wilt into nothing. So why would that make that a good gift to give him?
Why would you give somebody
something that you know they're never going to use and they're going to hate and let die?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wouldn't, to me, that wouldn't seem like, hey, that's a great idea. Let's give my number one, my master, my lord and commander or whatever, something that he's going to despise. Like, that made no sense. Like, I don't know if it was Bob Forward's idea to have that speech where he's belittling Swiftwind and telling him how awful his life's going to be, because that defeats the purpose of choosing him as a gift.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that. I was very confused at that whole aspect of this episode. What about you? What are things you didn't like about this one?
This whole episode, like, Bob Forward is better than this. We've seen him write better stuff than this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would love to be able to sit down and chat with Bob Forward about his writing and about everything else, but I know that he's not very open to interviews, mm-hmm. whatever. you know, but it's just one of those things where it's almost like when you bring in random writer, doesn't matter who it is, could be right. someone we know, someone we don't, to write the same plot every single episode of Mask. I mean, seriously, it seems like this is like, hey, we need, what was it? Do you remember off the top of your head, what was the episode before this one?
No. 48.
Shoot. Yeah. Funny guy. But whatever the last episode was before this, it seems like with this episode, they're like, oh, hey, well, maybe there was some dark stuff in that episode, so we need to lighten it up. So let's bring in Bob forward and have him write a comedy, when Bob is usually good at writing tragedy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems so out of place with this series.
I don't know. It just is. Not a good episode to start today with, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
Anything else that you wanted to bring up before we move on? The PSA was about bond between animals and people.
It's accurate. Bo, but I'm the hero. Would you like some wine with that wine? Please. Oh, God. Bo. Smack him upside the head with his own bow and arrow.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our first set of awards and rankings for today.
It looks like I have a prisoner as well.
That's what you think, Shadow Weaver.
Shira!
Let him go!
Suppose you make me Winghead.
Now it's my turn. Sword to net!
You won't have me, She-Ra. But now, I have something of yours.
Something of mine? Swiftwind! Bo, where is Swiftwind?
Why, I left Swifty just over there.
Come on.
So last week, in episode 62, we ended on Birds of a Feather. There's nothing dark in Birds of a Feather whatsoever. So how they felt they needed a comedic episode after that is beyond me.
Yeah.
Now we can get to the awards.
What do you have for Horde Bats or...
Horde Bats to everybody. Every single person. Bob Forward, Lou Scheimer, may the man rest in peace. Erica Shot. Everybody gets Horde Bats. All of them. All
right. That's pretty strong. I'm just going to give one to Hordak because that is the worst gift idea I've ever heard of.
Okay, I take that back. Everybody except one character gets a Horde Bat, and Mantana gets a Protection Sword. Everybody else, Horde Bats.
All right. What about... You said... Wait, what did you say for Protection Swords?
Mantana.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That makes sense. I did not think of that, so I don't have any Protection Swords to give out myself, but that makes sense. What about an episode rating for out of 5 Crystal Castles?
Half. 0.5, and it only gets that because of Mantana.
Ouch. That is rough. I will give it 1. 1 Crystal Castle out of 5. I don't know why, but...
Mantana, that's all right.
Yeah, there were some funny lines with Hordak and Mantana, etc. So, yeah. I mean, I guess that'll bump it up to a 1 for me, but this is an awful episode. So, let's try to put this... go ahead.
This is... Add this to the list of episodes of this show I will never watch again.
Yeah, so let's try to put this one out of our head as fast as humanly possible. And let's take a quick break and move on to episode 50, Milestone.
Not really.
The 50th episode. That's a big deal. I think.
Not for what they showed as the 50th episode.
We'll be right back.
Hordak won't wait all day.
You're stealing our grain.
Yes, yours and your rebel friends, you mean.
What a creepy crook. Why don't we fight them like She-Ra would?
Be careful, or you will get us in trouble, child. We are not strong enough to fight the Horde.
Hurry it up there. Move Autumn to the next barn. Hordak wins.
Next up is episode 50, Just Like Me. Air date of Thursday, November 14th, 1985, written by Gene Ayres. When Modulok and his troops start to terrorize her village, a little girl called Lena seeks out her heroine, She-Ra, in order to join her fight against the Horde. We have Modulok and some Horde troopers. We got She-Ra, Bo, and Swiftwind again, and then some random villagers and humans, Lena, Hembley, Poulton, some old people, etc. So what do you think about this whole idea that this girl needs She-Ra and only She-Ra to help her in the Modulok-centered episode?
Trying to think. I mean, just throw her into the playpen of all the other crappy MOTU kids. I'm sorry, like, she might be the most infuriating one of all, because she's just sitting there insulting everybody.
Yeah.
And then Modulok. I don't know. You like the character, right?
I like him for what he is, yeah. So far?
I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's not in with the rest of the Horde. Like, anytime you see
a little bit of an outsider.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see a Horde team up, you got Grizzlor, Mantana, Scorpia, Catra, Leech, hell, even Webstor at times. Well, no, not really. That was back when, yeah, anyway. But it's one of those things where Modulok seems to be there trying to create a classic character without creating a character that's just a one-off. Like, what was the one in the couple in He-Man, one that was in the other dimension that was working for Skeletor, you know? Those kinds of characters. He seems like that, but at the same time, they're also trying to make him a part of the Horde. And they didn't even mention the fact that he's no longer the head scientist.
Yeah.
Because apparently now he's the head farmer.
Yeah, the head scientist demoted to the head farmer and trying to do different things, yeah. I mean, I don't mind the idea of centering on one villain and getting some more about him if that was going to be what was happening. But yeah, I mean, just have to sprinkle it in with another kid. I mean, it is a little bit of a different angle with the whole obsession with She-Ra and that, you know, she doesn't want anybody else's help but She-Ra. So I mean, I guess it's a little bit different, but it's still an annoying kid. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't escape that. I wasn't as annoyed by her as I have been with some of the other ones. But that's not to say that she's not still annoying. So let's take another.
I think her characterization is what's more annoying than her. Most of the other kids, they're really, really childish in their ways, and half of them, the voices suck.
Right.
The voice on her wasn't that bad, but her personality is just god-awful.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, all right, let's take a quick break and make our way back to Whispering Woods, and we'll find something good to say about episode 50, Just Like Me.
Find some help in here. There's no one around.
Looks like we've invented a new game, Bo. Spin the robot.
Don't worry, Adora. I'll take care of them.
Excuse me, could you tell me how to get to Whispering Wood?
I said we would find something good in Whispering Woods about episode 50. I'm going to have to leave it up to you, though, because I don't know really if I have much. I have one thing. I have one. So I was right that we were going to find one thing, but it's up to you if we find more than one thing.
You'll have to remind me, because I honestly don't remember. Is it Lou that does Swifty's voice?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Love Lou Scheimer as Swiftwind, because... Swifty, did you see a little girl run by here? Yes, why is everyone in such a rush these days? Gotta love Lou Scheimer as Swiftwind.
That was in the 80s, jeez.
Yeah, I know, right? And I already mentioned my other one. At least Modulok isn't the head scientist anymore.
Yeah, I only have one. I thought it was somewhat of an interesting dynamic between Adora and She-Ra in this episode. And kind of how they were playing that angle and how they were feeling.
Switching back and forth.
Yeah, just
transforming, not transforming.
And how they felt about the other side of the other half of their personality, I guess. Their alter egos. It seemed like they were almost two completely different characters reacting to each other. So I did appreciate that. But let's get to Fright Zone, because I have more than a few things for that. First of all, Ugg.
Wait. I only have, because I know you're going to go off on a tangent.
Go ahead.
I have two.
Go.
And they're pretty general here. Stealing grain, seriously. You control the Hordak. You control the planet, and you have Modulok stealing grain. So he's, and as I've already said, he's gone from the head scientist to being the head farmer. And then obviously my other general note when it comes to kid episodes, another frustratingly boring kid episode.
Yeah, that's my first note. Ugh, another kid episode. And then I wrote down, there's nothing new or special about this episode. There's absolutely nothing that you get from this episode that you can't survive without. Like, this episode could not be a part of the series and it would affect nothing. There's also, like, just bad editing and et cetera. Like, I don't know if they, like, cut something out of this episode or what, but at one point, Bo and Lena, the little girl, are talking about whatever. They're going to try to get, get her parents free or something. And then it immediately cuts to a scene in which Bo has been captured.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if he intentionally was getting captured and that was part of his plan, but they don't show him intentionally get captured. They don't show him...
That wasn't part of his plan, because what happens later? She rips the damn door off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what the plan was or what part of it, but they're like, let's go get your mom or something like that. And then, like, Bo's immediately captured and the girl's not, and they don't show how that gets to that point. So it was very jarring. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Did I miss something? I even rewound it to watch it again to make sure something didn't skip on my DVD. At one point they show She-Ra leaning on nothing. Like, she's leaning, but there's nothing there for her to lean on. She's in a leaning pose. And also, the number of times that people would have a field day with this episode that go crazy about, you know, not being respectful to women. They say something about being a mere woman.
Yeah, they say it several times. The whole plot line of the episode is basically being demeaning to women and talking down to women and making fun of women, how they're not as strong as men and blah, 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 blah. And they try to counterpoint that by giving this chick, Lena, the biggest fangirl crush on She-Ra ever. Like, I can't imagine any girls in the 80s that would have enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, it was just weird how many times they said that. And then I think this episode may have set the record for number of times that we're going to transform back and forth between Adora and She-Ra. Mm-hmm. How many times are we going to transform in this episode? It was an overkill. Like, I think probably out of the episodes usually run around 22 minutes in this series, something mm-hmm. close to that. There had to have been at least 7 minutes worth of transformations in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was out of control. I understand that they're doing a lot of back and forth between Adora and She-Ra, but you don't necessarily need to highlight the fact that we're transforming that many times. Mm-hmm. And the PSA was about love and kindness are powerful things to have as well. It's not just brute strength, but love and kindness are our powers.
Go fall in a volcano, Luki.
So that's a lame-ass PSA, I will say that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and see if we rate this one any higher or lower than episode 49.
I have to find She-Ra, Princess of Power.
She-Ra again.
Well, maybe I could help you. What's your name, child?
I'm Lena, but you can't help. You're just a regular woman.
Why do you need She-Ra, Lena?
Because she's strong and brave and not afraid of the Horde. Just like me.
All right, it's time once again for Horde Bats and Protection Swords. I don't have any Protection Swords, so I can get rid of those real quick some other time. But my Horde Bat goes to Lena, the girl. Because, again, she's retarded. She's annoying. She's obsessed with She-Ra in an unhealthy way. And yes, I said retarded. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Honestly, I mean, I could see how you could just give a Horde Bat like you did last episode to everyone, but I focused on Lena. So what do you got?
I'm going to do it a different way this time.
Okay, what do you got?
Is that it?
Just a Horde Bat for Lena. That's all I give out for this episode.
Okay. All right. So. Now, generally, when we say Horde Bats, we've been doing this since, what, episode 46? Yep. Okay, so it's now, oh, God.
Episode 63.
Almost 20 episodes.
Yep, almost 20 episodes up.
Okay, so anyway, we've been doing the She-Ra show since episode 46 of Powers of Grayskull series, okay?
Yes.
So
I'm with you.
In the beginning, I believe when you termed Horde Bats, you're talking about the bat mech planes, right?
Any way you wanna interpret it.
Okay, so we're gonna line up all the characters, line them all up, all over Etheria. Every single one of them. We're gonna throw the writer in there, whoever the hell the writer was in this episode. We're even gonna throw in Lou Scheimer, Erica Scheimer, Jace, everybody.
Lou Scheimer's wife gets thrown in there.
Have Lena at the front of the line, smack her with a Horde baseball bat, and it's going to be a fucking domino effect through the whole fucking planet. Because, oh my God, is this... this episode is just horrid. You already said it about her obsession with She-Ra. I'm surprised she wasn't stalking She-Ra. I'm surprised they didn't try to angle it that way a little bit, because oh God,
yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Protection sword for anybody, sir?
The only person that gets a protection sword, and the only reason why this is not, I was originally thinking of doing something we've never done before. I was gonna give this a -1, a negative rating. But I'm not doing that. The only person that gets a protection, the only character that gets a protection sword of this whole episode is Swiftwind. For the, yes, why is everyone in such a rush these days? So Swifty is the only one that gets a protection sword.
All right. And rating for this one?
0.5 again. Because again, it's only one line from Swiftwind. Where's Matt Rez? Where's Kyle? As much as we may or may not enjoy Cowell, where is Cowell? You know, it's like, yeah. Episode 49 was supposed to be a comedy episode. Cowell's great at some sort of comment. I just, oh,
it's God. Not good. This, we're going to sound like a broken record because I am going to give it one Crystal Castle out of five. And the only reason I give it one is for my only Whispering Woods moment. I did think there was some interesting stuff done between Adora and She-Ra. So yeah. I liked the play on those two characters as if they were separate characters. But without that, this would be a zero. So yeah. It's that bad. And we are not in a good place so far. 2.5s for you and 2.1s for me. It's got to get better, right? Let's take a look after the break when we get to episode 51, My Friend and My Enemy.
This has to be a Pogs series record as far as bad ratings go.
We'll see what happens next, if we can finish with the trifecta or if it goes a notch up.
This pie smells delicious, and those berries look wonderful. Good. Who made this?
It's from a secret admirer, Hordak.
What's an admirer?
Someone who likes you.
You mean someone likes Hordak? What's going on here?
I sure mixed you all up.
Imp, I should have known it was you.
I have news for you about the rebels. They're picking up supplies at the edge of Whispering Woods at dawn, right out in the open.
Where anyone could get to them. Good work, Imp.
It's the perfect chance to capture those rebels once and for all.
Last up today is episode 51, My Friend, My Enemy. Air date Friday, November 15th, 1985. It's how we ended our week, with writer Carol Baxter giving us this plot synopsis. Skeletor poisons Hordak, and She-Ra wants to help her greatest enemy. We have Hordak, Catra, Skeletor, Imp, Mantenna, and Grizzlor, more than we've seen so far today. And for the members of the Rebellion, we have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Madam Razz, Cowl, Swiftwind, and Light Hope. So what do you think about the poisonous plot of Skeletor and Hordak?
If you take Just Like Me out, completely take it out, get rid of it, it would put the series at 92 episodes, and it would put this as episode 50.
Yes.
Because this is a much better episode than either of the other two. Just to give a little behind-the-scenes things here. I originally thought, for some odd reason, that this was not the right episode. Because the script that I have does not say that it's the right episode. I thought it was something else. So I
The moral of that story is when one person, a.k.a. me, attempts to do the number of scripts that I did that one day. apparently, I missed one section.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But like I said, I got confused and I messaged you on Facebook. I'm like, didn't we already do this? Because I looked at the description and this is before I started watching it.
Right.
I wanted to look at, because I was wanting to kind of look at the description to see what I was getting into. And I'm like, wait a minute. We already did the one about the red eye and the cowl and the feathers. I remember talking about that. And you're like, oh, no, just ignore it. Just watch the episode. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching. I'm like, holy shit. It's Skeletor. What's he doing there?
Yeah, it surprised you. It was my intention.
Yeah, that was a good surprise compared to the other two episodes today.
So you're a fan of Skeletor trying to poison Hordak?
Not necessarily. I'm a fan of Skeletor showing up and having probably the single greatest plan he's ever had in his entire Filmation history. I mean, he almost killed Hordak. I'm not a fan of him attempting to murder Hordak, but it's better than any of the other plans he's ever had.
Yeah.
When we did Tales of Eternia.
It definitely is interesting to see, like, just this murder attempt, basically, on Etheria. So, I mean, he's literally trying to kill Hordak. So it was unexpected and I wasn't sure how I was going to react to it when I start seeing it, because it comes, you know, obviously right at the beginning that we're going to have this type of episode. So the the whole idea that Skeletor is even on Etheria is just kind of interesting, and you're like, what's going on, and I want to see more. And then of course it's going to give you the classic where the, you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron have to be friends to help a common foe or something like that. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be anything up my alley, or if it was just going to be a rehash of similar things when the bad guy and good guys have to work together, which we've seen in this franchise itself a couple of different times so far. So it comes down to execution on this one for me, like a lot of the episodes. The plot is intriguing enough where if they executed it well, I would probably like the episode. But if they don't, it'll bring it down. So we have to kind of wait and see how that works out.
Yep.
And the way we're going to do that is take a quick break and get right into our last trip to Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone.
Sure, his doomberry pie was especially tasty. You've done your job well, Catra.
When will it start to take effect?
Soon. Very soon. It won't be long before Hordak will disappear. And then Horde Prime will have to choose the very best person to take his place. Me!
You'll need the very best force captain at your side. Me!
Thanks for sticking with us. It's our last trip to the Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone, so let's start in the Whispering Woods. I actually have quite a few things in both areas. What do you have, sir, that you would like to say good about my friend, my enemy?
So, we need to take a trip back in time, because back with the Modulog episode, I just thought of this since you mentioned Whispering Woods. The trees protected the Whispering Woods, and he ended up a tree. That was funny in the Modulog episode. But for this one, like I said a moment ago, I was so not expecting Skeletor to show up at all. I'm like, Doomsbury Pie, who the hell else on Etheria is going to try to poison Hordak? I thought it was great that Skeletor showed up. And as I already said, he basically has what is equal to his best plan ever. Like, there's nothing here outside of him associating with Catra and not Shadow Weaver, but Shadow Weaver probably in her characterization, unless the writer was going to really fuck her up, Shadow Weaver would have never joined Skeletor. But the interesting thing, since I mentioned that, in the Eternity War comic book from DC Comics that my buddy A. Das Baron and I are reviewing over on the pull bag, even though we're only up to issues 7 and 8 of having to record again soon, later in that series, there's a whole plot storyline where Shadow Weaver and Skeletor were a couple.
Oh, Lord.
but this here, I just absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. So, go down your list.
All right. First of all, the whole idea of Catra teaming with Skeletor is interesting. So I like that element. Obviously, like that Skeletor showed up. There's even a moment where Catra and Skeletor are laughing together, like in harmony,
in unison.
And that is an intriguing thing to hear, you know, 90-some or however many ridiculous episodes we've watched so far. It's something I never thought I would hear. So the peculiar purple pie man. See if anybody gets that reference, but that's basically what happened here. And I was not expecting the Havoc Staff to be destroyed like that.
I was like, whoa, the Havoc Staff, no way.
Yeah, that was crazy. So those were most of my good moments were about Skeletor and Catra and from a bad guy angle. But I do have some things that I want to talk about as far as Fright Zone goes that threw me off a little bit. First of all, how did Skeletor get there? How did Skeletor end up in Etheria? He just comes and goes as he pleases.
Has his staff opened up trans-dimensional portals before? Do we remember
that? Well, I mean, I just don't remember him in the other episodes he's showed up in so far in the She-Ra series. I don't remember him just being able to do it at whim.
Okay.
So I was a little thrown off by that. Also, it doesn't make any sense for Katja. This is a lateral move in the business world, in the hierarchy. It doesn't make much sense because she literally says...
Don't say ladder. I'll have a thing about the ladder later.
But, I mean, she literally is the Force captain for Hordak. And in her speech or her discussion with Skeletor and how Skeletor is going to take over and be the supreme leader, et cetera, et cetera, she's like, and I will be the best choice for Force captain. Like,
you're already, yeah.
So your whole plot is so that you can be in the exact same position with just a different ruler? Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And for Hordak, this is a quote from him, I'm passing out. I don't know. Most people don't have the ability to announce when that's about to happen. They should have had him say, I'm feeling faint, or I feel weak, or I'm dizzy, or I'm lightheaded, or something. But for him to actually say, I'm passing out is like...
I will argue this with you just a little bit, because I have seen movies and TV shows where characters, whether it's a funny character or not, will say that.
Seemed off for him to say that at that
point. Right, right. I'm not arguing the point that it seems off for him to say that, but I'm saying that it has happened before. I know everyone under the sun hates the Big Bang Theory, but I can think of a few times that Sheldon has drank before on the Big Bang Theory, and he has said, I'm going to just pass out now.
Well, I get that, where you're like, hey, you're tired or whatever, you're going to be like, I'm going to pass out. But for you to actually be passing out and say, I'm passing out, that's just kind of weird. I understand not killing people as a good person. You know, He-Man's not going to do it, She-Ra's not going to do it, et cetera, et cetera. But nobody's asking you to kill Hordak. Why not just let him fade into another dimension? What is that? What part of your ethical
that's
code?
That's the problem with the writing. That's a problem with the writing. They specifically had Skeletor say, whoever the hell the writer is for this episode, they had Skeletor say, Hordak will disappear into another dimension. He will be gone forever, essentially meaning death. He doesn't necessarily say... He says that, but he also says at the same time he's going to kill Hordak. But he doesn't say that Hordak is going to die. He says that Hordak is going to end up in another dimension. Right. So they don't. The writer did not write this down properly.
Because otherwise it should not be a mark against your ethical or moral standards as the hero to let somebody just disappear into another dimension. Like, that's so... What is the big deal? You're not killing anybody. You're not actually taking any action. You're just letting this happen, and then your evil torture person is gone forever. And I guess the series ends, but whatever. Like, I hate that they never are willing to just do something crazy and let something like that happen. Sword to torch was interesting because it actually created fire. And sword to ladder, what did you want to say about that?
Sword to ladder. That's just almost as bad, as if not worse, than sword to blanket. I still give up.
Tennis racket's pretty
bad. And then sword to torch. Oh, fuck this. I'm done. I'm so fucking done at this point.
I wasn't done at that point with this episode.
No. I'm saying the powers of the protection sword. I'm done.
I'm not. I'm keeping track still. I wasn't done at that point in the episode either, but when I was done, when the first time I thought I was done, is then after this, where She-Ra is crying for a wasted life. Give me a fucking break.
Well, this is so no one else is going to cry for Hordak, so she cries for Hordak, which is fine. I don't have a really problem with her crying for him and feeling sorry for him in the current state that he's in, because that is kind of sad.
No, it's not. It's your arch enemy. He's fading.
I know. I know that. I understand that, but...
Why would it bring you to tears?
It goes back to what you were saying about how He-Man and She-Ra don't want anybody to die. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where I can't believe Swiftwind pulled off the single tear better than She-Ra pulled off multiple tears here. The multiple tears here is just god-awful animation.
There's only one suitable action for this if you're trying to, like, be, like, sentimental. And that is, as he's fading off to this other dimension, you turn to walk away and you just pour out a little liquor. And then you just... That's it. That's it. You pour out a little liquor and let the motherfucker shift into another dimension. Excuse my language. But that is just crying for a wasted life. Those lines that were written in this part are the cheesiest, sappiest, stupidest things I've ever heard She-Ra utter in this entire series. And then, if I wasn't done then... Then we shift back to Hordak coming back to and being in this dimension and back on his, you know, back in his home, etc. And now we're going to do something to where Hordak has amnesia. And Hordak doesn't fucking remember what Skeletor did or that She-Ra cried for him and that She-Ra saved his life. Why the fuck does he have amnesia? He was with it the whole time. He was kind of fading in and out, but it wasn't like he had head trauma. It wasn't like he was actually out cold. He should not have amnesia. He should have remembered every aspect of what just happened for the most part. So fuck the amnesia story angle to this. So screw the fact that you didn't let Hordak go into another dimension. Screw the fact that you're literally shedding tears for it. And then screw the fact that Hordak has no memory of all this. This episode in the second half pissed me off. I'm sorry.
So, looking at this episode on the IMDb's, at the writer, Carol Baxter. Okay. Carol Baxter, her only writing credits in 31 years are The Incredible Hulk TV series, one episode in 1981. And then we have The Anxious Apprentice from She-Ra, My Friend, My Enemy, Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue, and then Just the Way You Are. So she wrote four episodes of She-Ra. This is the second of the four. So apparently later... in 1986, we're going to get Something Old, Something New. And then in 87, we're going to get Just the Way You Are. So if this is any indication, and I do not remember us doing, I know we did it, but I don't remember The Anxious Apprentice. So we're two out of the four episodes into her writing. If this is how she writes, this has got to be the worst writing I've ever seen.
It's not good. It's not good. It ruined the entire episode, honestly, for me. I can't handle this episode, and it's going to be a 3-for-3 miss on me for today. I think you liked it a little bit more, but we'll have to get into that.
The only reason why I liked it more is because of the sheer shock value for me for having Bone Brain show up, because I was not expecting Bone Brain to show up at all.
Yeah, I guess I can see a part of that, maybe. And the PSA was about being friends to those who have no friends. You got to be that one person that will cry over some piece of garbage. So find that person in your life that has no friends and be friends with them, pretty much.
Let's get to the awards for the final time today. This is going to be interesting because I'm going to break everyone's brain yet again.
You've never broken my brain.
Oh, I will this time.
Don't worry, Catra. I'll just give you a little push, and you can glide to the Fright Zone. Have a safe trip home!
She-Ra! I'll get you for this!
Is she gone?
You could say long gone. I see a bright light up ahead. I hope it's the wizard. There is something. It's the wizard, but he's a prisoner. Something tells me we've got company. Bad company.
She-Ra, I've been expecting you.
Skeletor, I should have known you were behind all this.
Skeletor, what are you doing here?
Waiting for you, my friend. Now I have the pleasure of watching Hordak disappear in person.
You can't mean that. You and Hordak were once friends.
Friends? He would be glad to do the same thing to me. I just beat him to it. As for you, She-Ra, don't come any closer.
I can see there's no reasoning with you. Sword to shield!
It will be difficult for even you, She-Ra, to help Hordak.
All right, last chance to hand out some hardware for today. Any Horde bats or protection swords, sir?
I constantly find ways to give various things various awards. And I think this is going to be a first. It's probably not going to break anyone's brain, but it when I thought of this, I'm like, oh God, that's just so good. Because of the horrible, horrible changes, I'm giving a Horde bat to the Sword of Protection.
That's deep in the head. Oh, man.
Protection Sword Awards. I gotta give one each to Skeletor and Hordak. Just like I said, I was not expecting Skeletor to show up as the villain in this episode. Because the other thing is, okay, so if Skeletor's here, where the fuck is He-Man? That's what I was waiting for. I'm waiting for He-Man to show up.
Not gonna happen in this episode. Did not have any protection swords to give out in this episode, but I do have one humongous Horde bat to give out, and that one goes to She-Ra herself for being a fucktard in this episode and crying over Hordak like a little bitch. So, yes, I said all that.
Yes, you did.
How many crystal castles out of five are you giving this one? Come back down to my level.
As bad as the writing is and as bad as the overall plot is, the fact that Skeletor just shows up out of nowhere and has his best plan ever, even though he fails, just for that reason alone, I have to give it 4.5.
What? Yes. 4.5?
Yes.
No, you can't give 4.5 just because Skeletor fucking shows up.
Yes, I can.
Oh my God, that's the worst rating I've ever heard in our entire existence of Powers of Grayskull. I've heard you bump something up a half point because of a line or because, you know, a character or something like that. You cannot give this 4.5 bumps because Skeletor showed up.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I am.
That is the worst rating ever. This is not one of the best episodes of the entire series. It's not even close. Are you fucking insane?
Yes, apparently.
I will give it a half of a point bump for Skeletor, which still only gets this to 1.5 out of 5. And that's being generous. It should be lower than that. 1.5 out of 5. You cannot give this a 4.5. I forbid it.
I did.
I forbid it. And that means that this is going to be in your top 10 episodes of the series. You think this is a top 10 episode?
Eh. It's Skeletor. What are you going to do?
She-Ra is literally crying over Hordak.
They're trying to teach children something.
Hordak gets amnesia from nothing. You thought you were breaking my brain with the damn protection sword thing. No, you're breaking my brain by giving this a 4.5 out. People that are listening, please comment on how retarded this is. You cannot give this a 4.5. This is the most terrible rating I've ever heard. I'm beside myself. If this shows up in your top 10 She-Ra episodes, I'm going to do something crazy. I haven't decided what it is yet, but I will do something crazy. This is one of the worst episodes of this series. One of the worst. It's the worst, probably the worst crossover episode we've had. Probably the worst Etheria Eternia crossover episode of the entire series so far. Okay, we have to take a break because I'm about to just go ballistic. So we'll be right back with our final thoughts for today's episodes.
Oh, Zeri boy!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have successfully achieved my goal for this section of the Powers of Grayskull series. I've broken his brain, folks.
I can't speak.
Yeah, let's hope the episodes get better.
It's awful, awful episodes today. This is the only thing that I'm going to muster the strength up to talk about. I get one and 1.5. I don't. This may be a record for the worst set of three episodes we've ever done.
Yeah, it's awful. I can agree to that.
It's awful. So it's better get freaking better. I have a few things I'm looking forward to as we trickle our way down to the end of season one of She-Ra. So hopefully those pan out, and I'm basing that just strictly on either characters that are appearing or just some minor plot details. I haven't seen the episode, so maybe they're going to disappoint me, but that's the only reason why I'm still excited somewhat to do this, is because I have a glimpse of some things that may be coming. But this is an awful set of three episodes. If these were the first three episodes you watched of this series, you would never watch another episode.
Yeah, probably not.
So it better get better.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to The Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We do have a new one, I believe, but I'll talk about that next time, because I'm not have it pulled up right now. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio. You can follow @PowOfGrayskull for the show. Mine is TF21Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure, when we will take a look at the next three episodes, those being The Wizard, Unexpected Ally, and the Light of the Crystal. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
one and only Optimus Solo.
Tune in next time. For the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
I'm